As China moves to launch the world's first state-run cyber currency, there are warnings that governments should start thinking about their response to financial systems they can't control. The central bank of the world's biggest economy could be just months away from becoming the first major central bank to mint a digital version of its currency. But the move is spooking some US economists, who say a wide uptake of the new currency could undermine things like economic sanctions, the tool of choice to respond to major geopolitical challenges. And meanwhile, there are privacy concerns about it in China because of its ability to track citizens' spending. Campbell Pentney's a cryptocurrency expert and tax expert with Bell Gully. We last spoke to him about Facebook and its project Libra. He says a major catalyst for China's new currency, being contemplated still, and the rush to protect its monetary sovereignty.
We had rumours that there was a launch coming pretty soon. We've heard dates that are coming up. We heard 20 November, for example. And in fact, we started to see counterfeit versions of this digital Chinese currency on the market. That prompted the People's Bank of China to make a statement. They have acknowledged that they have been working on this technology for about 4 or 5 years. But they say they are still in the testing phase, and that if we are going to have a launch, it's not coming anytime soon. So maybe we're looking at more like 1 year to 18 months.
All right, China already has a black market around cryptocurrency. How is cyber currency different from cryptocurrency, or one established by an actual central bank?
Yeah, look, this will be very, very polar opposite. So on one hand, we have a very broad category of what we call cryptocurrency, which encompasses a whole lot of different types of assets. On one hand, we have decentralized cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. Bitcoin has no controller, it has no third party. You can make transactions with no one in the space, and they can block your payment. Now, this type of payment, which I assume would be blockchain-based, would be issued by the government, controlled by the government. Presumably, you would be able to have transactions observed by the government, and if there were issues, you could control, for example, to ensure that currency could not leave the country to avoid capital outflight. So it will use that technology, blockchain, I suspect, but it'll be a very, very different use case.
Can we just talk about how it happens at both ends? At the end of the user, the person who's wanting to pay something or receive payment for something, this is going to be entirely like an e-wallet transaction.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Is it go ahead.
I was going to say, interestingly in China, though, I spoke to people about this, and they said, well, look, we already pay digital currency. We use WeChat and we use Alipay. So how will this be any different? And it wouldn't surprise me that any digital currency is actually built into an app, so it's actually used very, very easily. You have your own wallet. What will be different, though, is that you will have the payment itself will not be a currency stored in a bank. It will be a digital asset issued by the government in your own control and indeed observable by the government.
Is it legal tender?
And that's a really good question. I mean, we look at things like Bitcoin and Ethereum, and the governments have said, absolutely not. It's not money because it's issued by a sovereign state. You then get the halfway position. You look at Project Libra and you say, well, Libra, issued by Facebook, feels like money, but again, not issued by a state. This is the first sort of major innovation where we have an actual sovereign state saying it will issue its own currency in a different form and presumably in parallel and maybe pegged to the traditional yuan currency. So it's a question of law, but I would have thought at that point you've transgressed where now you have a currency that is legal tender, at least in China.
Legal tender meaning specifically what? Legally recognised by a country's central bank?
Exactly. Now, whether it's legally recognised by another country is a different question, and there has been some speculation that this could be used as a means of cross-border payment. So, for example, you could make payments with your trading partners like Russia or Iran, and you would do so very quickly, very efficiently, and you would be doing so without any intermediary involved in the middle, such as a bank or a financial clearing system.
The other big question from a sovereign point of view is this part of the money supply?
Yeah, and look, we don't yet know what the specifications will be, but it will likely be pegged to something. So it'll be what we call a stable coin. Now, what will it be pegged to? Well, Libra was pegged to a basket of foreign currencies. This particular currency would most likely be pegged to the yuan itself, so you could redeem the currency one for one. Alternatively, it might be pegged to gold, as China does have a large reserve of gold. Now, if it's pegged one for one, then you haven't even increased the money supply. It simply runs in parallel. But, of course, if you can start to print it, without it being backed, then you start to expand the money supply, which is what central banks do all the time, of course.
They expand it or they contract it according to their wishes to try and affect things like inflation and interest rates. And I guess this is where it gets really interesting. With Libra, we were saying the sovereign control of a government and its independent central bank over the money supply could be threatened by Libra. However, in this case, it would be the state controlling this parallel currency.
Correct, correct. Although the question then becomes, what happens on a global scale? It might be that I don't want to use this particular currency, but it might be that cross-border settlements become very fast and efficient when using this currency, and that maybe if there is a first-mover advantage, and we're told that China's development on this has accelerated once they saw what was happening with Libra, and of course with Libra they were stuck in a quagmire, they were struggling to get through regulatory approvals, and still are, but with China, of course, there are no such limitations. They can go as fast as they choose to.
What is the advantage of the digital currency that can't be achieved by using the existing currency with digital technology?
There's probably two. The first is that I mentioned before that locals in China often use WeChat and Alipay to make payments. Those might be seen as digital currency, but the government does not see those transactions unless it makes efforts to actually try and obtain records from the providers. This is very different. You have a real-time access to transactions every minute by minute. Using AI, you could then determine, for example, what consumers are doing, where they are spending, what are prices, and that could be very useful information. The second, of course, is cross-border payments, I said before, faster, more efficient. And there is an advantage, particularly if you're a country that is restricted in any way from the global financial system, to form and create your own parallel financial system, and that's what they're starting to do.
What are the implications for the global money supply and financial system?
I think people are going to start to have, if this succeeds, and if, for example, people start to see things like negative interest rates, people start to see large banks collapsing or banks run, then we're going to have to ask whether people want to continue using a bank, and then people might look to currencies like Libra or the digital yuan, and they might prefer that choice. We had Christine Lagarde, new president of the ECB, in September, she said, central banks should be open to the opportunities provided by change in the case of new technologies, including digital currency. And I guess the point about money supply, as you just put forward, is that with Libra, a private corporation, Libra controls the supply, not the government anymore.
The question, though, of how this affects international soft diplomacy and basically the power structures, long been a battle between the US and China over China's devaluing of its currency, the yuan, and whether that is fair. It is certainly the international flow of money and control of money has been a tool of power for many decades now. Does this upset some of those diplomatic and geopolitical balances and power points?
Perhaps where it goes to is there is this sort of ongoing talk that the days of the US dollar being the dominant force in the global market, that the global reserve currency might be limited, and that at some point in time we might see a change. We don't yet know how far away that is or what that new thing will look like, but if the way to get an advantage and to try and sort of get one up over the US dollar was a new form of technology, whether it's backed by the yuan or backed by gold or something else, that would be a starting point. Now, lawmakers in the US have said to the Fed, look, we need to start looking at researching a new digital US dollar as well to compete. But so far, we don't have that. And China's move into blockchain, not just with money, but blockchain generally, has the hallmarks of the start of the space race from the 20th century. But there's no other competitor. It's a one-man race.
The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, other institutions that have been used and often criticised, but used to assist countries going through financial crises and collapses, are these international institutions going to have to completely reset?
I don't know if they would find the need to switch. But I think one thing we're seeing is that in countries that are, I guess, using the word collapsing, but countries with great economic turmoil that are finding their own local currencies collapsing in value rapidly, that are finding that the banks are running out of money, for those people, they need an alternative. They don't have the equivalent of a government digital currency, and maybe they wouldn't trust that particular currency. And so they are finding themselves increasingly turning to the decentralized versions of cryptocurrencies, such as Bitcoin and the like, whether that is to get some kind of store of value or even to be able to try and move their funds offshore very quickly.
The other question always is regulation over such currencies. I know our Reserve Bank has talked in briefly in sort of think tank mode about the possibilities of a digital currency down the track. But again, China just seems to be light years ahead of everyone else on this, including the US, you're intimating.
Yep. There was a G7 report that came out recently on what they call stablecoins, which are these types of products. And they said that stablecoins, unlike the more volatile Bitcoin-type currencies, do have great promise, but that they're not really in a position to use them until all of the regulatory and tax issues have been considered and worked out. Well, that could be never. It could take years to get consensus to be able to reach an appropriate result. And I think in 2018, the Reserve Bank in New Zealand said that it's too early for a digital currency in New Zealand. And my proposition there is that it might be only 2 years before it's too late, and by the time it's too late, you start on your project, and 5 years later you might be finished, and then the entire scene has changed again.
Western regulators could move to ban the use of China's digital currency. I don't know whether they can, how effectively they can ban it, but it still wouldn't stop it being used in large parts of other nations, right, or entire Correct. Continents, in fact.
Correct, and Donald Trump has issued an executive order to ban the Venezuela version of this coin called the Petro, but that doesn't really do anything because there's no one in America is using that asset anyway. It doesn't affect Venezuela. It's not been used internationally. So it only really works if you have the ability to enforce sort of sanction-type laws or prohibitions on other countries that you have reciprocal enforcement regimes in. And if you're looking at international trade between, say, Russia and China, that's not going to have much impact.
When you look at the IMF chief economist Kenneth Rogoff warning about this could mean we're on the verge of a disruption to America's ability to leverage faith in its currency, the power of its currency, which you alluded to earlier, what are the wider ramifications for its economy if that happens? What are the flow-on effects from a radical change like this?
I think that currently we are in a world where, I said before, the US dollar is seen as the global reserve. It is the main currency. It is the currency that many loans made in, many international transactions are made in. And that's hugely significant. And I think that we have a real concern if at some point the US dollar does become threatened by a digital currency like the yuan and there's no alternative being put in place.
That is Campbell Pentney, who is an expert and tax expert with Bell Gully. An expert in cryptocurrencies in particular. And in the latest news, France is looking to test a central bank-issued digital currency next year. The central bank's governor says the bank will start testing it soon and will launch a call for projects before the end of the first quarter of 2020. China's move, anticipated, as you heard from Campbell, perhaps during 2020.